Good morning. I'm Pat Thurston, your host. I'll be with you until 5 o'clock in the morning. Well, you know, this is Father's Day weekend, and so there are a number of issues that we will be talking about this morning and tomorrow morning that do pertain specifically to parenting and even more specifically to fathers. The first thing that we're going to talk about and the guest that we have, this really pertains to parenting, and it pertains to your children. This book that I picked up, it's a fabulous little book. It's called Your Children Are Listening, 9 Messages They Need to Hear from You. And as luck would have it, the author of this book happens to be local, and he's joining us right now on the Pat Thurston program, Dr. Jim Taylor. Jim, thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Good, very early morning to you, Pat.
Yes, I know. And you know, you're a trooper. You're doing this at this hour of the morning, you are really a trooper. But I'm so glad that you did. It's a great book that you have here. And I'll tell you, I've got so many pages folded down that it's just kind of silly. But I want to start by saying that at the beginning of your book, I laughed out loud when you wrote a little blurb about being a parenting expert versus actually parenting. Tell us sort of about what you were going through at that time. You'd already sort of expressed yourself as a parenting expert, and then you had children.
Yes, I wrote my first 2 parenting books before I had children. And I have to say, that is this a great country or what? Because where can you be an expert at something that you've never actually done before? But of course, in my practice, I've had worked with children and their parents for many, many years. But I will say that things changed when I became a father, and I now have 2 girls, almost 6 and almost 4. So I'm still early in the game.
Yeah.
But I will say that so far, so good. Everything that I wrote about in my first 2 parenting books have held true for sure. Although I will confess that perhaps in 15 years I'll be writing another book titled "I'm Sorry They Seem Like Good Ideas at the Time." but my new book, "Your Children Are Listening Now," is yes based partly on my ongoing professional experience, but also my boots on the ground in the trenches experience as a father.
Well, let me tell you that one of the other things that I found a little surprising is that a lot of your experience prior to working with children is as a sports psychologist. How do these 2 things merge?
Right. Well, my early work in my practice was focused on helping young athletes. And invariably, an aspect of young athletes is that they're young. They're often children or young people, and working with their parents. So my work expanded from just focusing on athletic things to just what it takes to raise good kids. My first book is called Positive Pushing, and it's basically how parents can push their kids in a healthy and positive way, which obviously applies to sports, but it
right.
applies to many aspects of life.
Yeah.
And then as I became more involved with that, I saw the role of popular culture on kids. In my second book, Your Children Are Under Attack, focused on the role of popular culture with kids.
Right, right, right.
And then when I became a father, I saw how important that messaging was with kids.
You know, it's funny because the title of your book, Your Children Are Listening, most of... Uh-oh. Are you still there?
Yeah. I'm here. Sorry about that.
That's okay. It happened. You've got kids.
Drop my phone.
We excuse just about anything when you have kids. I have triplets, by the way.
I understand that. How old are they?
They're 7.
Wow, good for you.
But they're almost 8, so I'm hoping it's not too late.
It's never too late.
Oh, good. That's an important thing. Because the title of your book, Your Children Are Listening, I think most of us who are parents, we think our children are actually rarely listening. But tell us why the title of your book.
Well, because kids these days, especially with all the technology and social media, kids are bombarded 24/7 by messages. And I would say that the vast majority of those messages, most often from popular culture, are not healthy ones. And I have a strong belief that, and here's my little tagline, that your children become the messages they get the most. Your children become the messages they get the most. So an essential question parents need to ask is, how can I be sure I'm sending the healthiest messages? Because I think it's not hard for any parent to look out
there. Or that my messages are the messages they're getting the most.
That's what you want to make sure of, yes. Because certainly genetics play a big role in kids, who kids become.
Yeah.
And also their social world does. But definitely early in their life, parents are the most powerful influences that kids have, because we are their world, certainly early on.
Right.
And that influence declines as they move out into childcare, preschool, kindergarten, elementary school, and so on.
Right.
But nonetheless, early on, if you can establish, send those early healthy messages and create what I call defaults, And by default, that's a tech term you find in a computer. It's an automatic preset option that comes up before other options are considered.
Right.
And so, for example, if your kid watches, if you put your kids in front of a TV every time they're bored, their default will be that when they're bored, they need to be entertained by something. But if the default is when you're bored, you find something to do, then that will be their default.
Yeah.
And that's not to say they're still not going to do other things and be influenced by other messages. But if you can establish those early defaults, then your kids are more likely to respond in that way, because that's the automatic knee-jerk reaction when something comes up related to the message.
Well, let's get to something a little more basic. Just exactly what are messages? Is it every single thing that they take into their heads?
It is absolutely everything, every form of information they get, whether it's, again, through the many conduits of popular culture, whether it's movie, TVs, video games, peer messages, messages from other parents, messages from teachers and coaches. But again, when kids are younger, most fundamentally the messages they get from us.
But as they get older, and almost as soon as they start socializing, it seems as if those peer messages are the ones that really are important to them. They're the ones they want to get.
I agree, Pat, because social acceptance becomes the dominant force in their lives. But nonetheless, a lot of parents, as you suggested, feel like their kids aren't listening.
Right.
But I can assure you that your kids are listening. They might be giving you the hand. They might be not
God,
looking
I
at
hope
you.
Not.
I didn't say the finger, I said the hand.
Yeah, no, I know.
And they might be not often doing what you ask them to do,
right.
But they are listening. And the biggest problem very often with parents is that they think their kids aren't listening, so they simply stop sending the message.
Oh. See, I thought you were going to say we keep doing it and then we become less effective at it. Well, what gets in the way of them receiving the messages that we're sending?
Right. Well, I have this thing, this section, a chapter called Message Blockers. And it's quite a long list, but we can go through a couple of those. First of all, a disconnect between send and received. A parent would say, but I didn't mean that. Because it's one thing for parents to send a message that they understand. But you have to remember that a child anywhere from 3 years, you know, two years old up to, let's say, 10 or 12,
right.
they're receiving that message from a very different mindset. So it's really important that parents make sure that the message they're sending is the one that the message the kids are getting are the ones they're sending.
Right.
Another one is inconsistent messages. You can do it this time, but not next time. And so what's the message there is that I don't know what the message is.
Right.
Conflicting messages. But Daddy said, and this is a game that kids play all the time.
Right.
They don't get something from Mom, so they go to Dad, and he gives them. So it's like, well, I don't know which message it is. And, of course, kids are going to take the message that they want to get.
Right.
Also, a big one is fatigue. Parents, it's tiring being a parent.
Yes.
And yet what makes good parents good is not that they do such special things, it's that they just keep doing them. And then, of course, some other message blockers are...
So the fatigue means that we get tired of doing them and we stop?
We stop doing them because we are just tired, because we're frustrated, because they just don't seem to get it.
It's the 100th time we've said it, and so we just give up.
And I have to tell you, it takes hundreds upon hundreds of hundreds, and I can tell you a personal story with our girls. We started teaching our girls to bring their plates to the sink at about two years of age after dinner. And our youngest one, Gracie, she's a stubborn little gal, and she would often say no. And we are my wife
and
I, Sarah. My wife Sarah and I are pretty darn persistent people. And I remember this one time where after dinner she wouldn't bring her plate to the sink. And so we sat there and I said, "You have to. That's your job. We all have jobs to do." And she said no, and she was having a tantrum. And we sat there literally for 25 minutes until she finally brought her plate to the sink.
Wow.
And that's tiring. But, you know, the problem with what I do is I have to practice what I preach. And so I just hung in there, and she came around, and now she's 3¾, and now she just brings her stuff to the sink without even thinking about it. It's just what she does. And we've had similar battles with setting the table and putting our clothes away, et cetera, et cetera.
You sound a little bit like the Tiger Mom.
You know, actually, if you go to my blog on my website, you will see 3 posts about the Tiger Mom. And I'm not the Tiger Mom because this isn't about achievement. This is about raising good kids with good values and good life skills and the qualities it takes to be just a decent human being. So I am like a Tiger Mom. I'm a Tiger Dad, perhaps, but for raising a good person, not raising a high achiever.
Okay. All right, I'm going to ask you to hang on, Jim. I'm going to take a commercial break here, and we'll come back and continue our discussion. Jim Taylor, Dr. Jim Taylor, is my guest. His book is called Your Children Are Listening, 9 Messages They Need to Hear From You. We'll get into some of those 9 messages and a few other things as well when we come back. You can join us, by the way. The telephone number is 8080810. That's 808-0810. I'm Pat Thurston, and you're listening to KGO News Talk 810.
It's easier than ever to enjoy what you love at a price you'll love even better. Switch to Xfinity from Comcast to enjoy Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Enjoy more of what you want online. You'll get faster download speeds than dial-up to quickly check email, upload, and send photos and more. Plus, Xfinity Internet comes complete with Norton Security Suite, the top-rated protection against harmful viruses, spyware, and other threats. It's a $160 value, and you get it for free. Call 800-XFINITY before this offer ends. Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Xfinity offers entertainment your way. See and experience the Xfinity difference for yourself. It's so sure you'll love everything about it that it stands behind its services with a full 30-day money-back guarantee. It's a limited-time offer, so call 800-XFINITY today. Offer ends June 19th. Restrictions apply. New residential customers only. Limited to economy internet service. After promotions, regular rates apply. Equipment, installation, taxes, and fees extra.
Have you seen the higher gas prices lately? Filling your car with gas or putting food on the table is no easy task. If you're looking to save money, then listen up. Historically low mortgage rates may help you lower your monthly expenses. Hi, I'm Sandy with Fremont Bank. You probably heard me on the radio advertising our great mortgage rates. Well, right now, Fremont Bank is offering a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage at 4.75% APR with no closing costs. That's right, no closing costs, no escalating monthly payments, and no prepayment penalties. Find out why Bay Area homeowners have turned to Fremont Bank for over 45 years for their refinancing and purchase needs. Refinance your mortgage with a 30-year fixed rate at 4.75% APR. Lock your rate while the rates are still low. Call now, 866-341-REFI. That's 866-341-REFI.
Restrictions apply. Application fee required. Call for additional cost details. APR effective 6/14/2011. Subject to change without notice. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Good morning. I'm Pat Thurston. My guest is Dr. Jim Taylor. Jim is an author and a parenting expert. His most recent book is called Your Children Are Listening, 9 Messages They Need to Hear From You. You know, Jim, when we talk about messages that children receive, I think what we've sort of been focusing on thus far are verbal messages. But, I mean, aren't there a lot of different kinds of messages and even the way you deliver those verbal messages? Like, for example, you know, you talked about fatigue, how it affects us and our tenacity or lack thereof. But what about your own frustration? What about anger? Does that get in the way or does that help your children to receive the messages you're trying to get them to receive?
Well, both really. And I have a chapter on what I call message conduits. That is the ways through which messages get communicated. And a couple of different ways are this. Is first of all, what you say to them, of course, the verbal messages that you indicate. But another angle that you suggest right there is what you feel. And how we react emotionally to situations are very powerful. And kids, especially really young ones who haven't fully developed language, are visceral, emotional little creatures. They pick up those emotional messages. And that's not to say, though, you can't get angry. There's no way a parent can't get angry, frustrated on a fairly constant basis with children. It's part of the job. But it's a matter, the emotional messages are how they're communicated. So one thing I've sort of taken a survey on among the parents that we socialize with is how many parents yell at their children. Mm-hmm. And I actually wrote a blog post about this, is that it's hard not to yell at your children, and it's okay to do sometimes. But when it's constant, then that's some real harm. And so it's okay to say, I'm really angry with you, or this is really frustrating me. Because what that says, a very healthy emotional message, that A, mom and dad have feelings, right, that kids can cause parents to have strong emotions, but also then how parents communicate the emotional messages. So, you know, yelling at them, which is a scary thing for a little kid, versus, you know, I'm really frustrated here and this is why.
Mm-hmm.
Another important thing that it's what you do to them, you know, having consequences, you know, the politically correct word for punishment.
Right.
But a really big one, Pat, is simply who you are. I've come to believe that it's less important what you do or say to your child, mm-hmm, than simply who you are, how you interact with the world. Because kids watch, and we are role models, and they see how we deal with the world,
right,
and that's how they learn to deal with the world.
Right. So if they see you expressing road rage, it doesn't matter if you're nicey-kissy with them. They see the way you're interacting with the world, and they absorb that?
Absolutely. It's far, far more powerful than, I think, the verbal messages that you communicate to your kids.
And kids themselves, they also send us messages that are other than what they're actually saying to us, don't they?
Absolutely. It's a two-way street when it comes to messages. And unfortunately, kids, first of all, are sending messages to us all the time. Unfortunately, we very often don't speak their language. And I know in my practice, that's often what I will do, is I'll translate what kids' messages are to parents. And because we interpret the world in a certain way because we're experienced, we've got a lot of, maturity, mm-hmm, and wherewithal. But kids don't have that. So, for example, a kid is here's a great one. When my kids were younger, I would ask them to do something, and they would just ignore me, or I thought they were ignoring me,
mm-hmm,
and I would take that personally, and I would get angry because they're being disrespectful.
Right.
But what they're actually they just don't hear it. Because kids have this tremendous ability to absorb themselves in a task.
Right.
So they're playing, and you're saying, please do this.
Yeah.
And they're not acting because they haven't heard it.
Right.
So one great little thing that I do with my kids is when they're absorbed in something, I say, Katie or Gracie, please look me in the eye.
Yeah.
And I won't send the message until they're looking me in the eye, and I
right.
know I have their attention.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and that makes total sense. I mean, I've been through a lot of that, too. It almost seems like they're hypnotized by what it is they're doing. You just can't get their attention no matter what. And it's
right.
ridiculous because you get frustrated because you're saying things and they're not responding. So, no, I totally buy into that. I think that's absolutely true. Now, you also ask parents to consider messages from their own childhood. What are some of those messages that we should be considering?
Sure. Well, the fact is, as a lot of people forget that parents are human beings. And that as human beings, we bring a lot of good stuff, a lot of good messages from upbringing, but let's also be realistic. We bring some bad stuff. We bring baggage. And whether it's anger, whether it's fear, whether it's lack of confidence or low self-esteem, whether it's shyness, whatever it might be, it's really useful in connecting that idea of the most important message we send to kids are who we are, to understand who we are,
mm.
to look back on our upbringing and see what kind of messages did we get as kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because going back to the idea that we become the messages we get, children become the messages they get the most, well,
mm-hmm.
we were children once, and we got a message from our parents, and so we probably absorb those, unless you've been in therapy for a lot of years, or you've done a lot of Zen meditating and have figured things out. The chances are you're passing a lot of that baggage on to your kids. And I can assure you, Pat, kids are going to get their own baggage. That's part of life. It is a true gift not to give those baggage messages to their kids.
You know, I am afraid that I'm not a super parent. I mean, I think I'm a good mom, but it's difficult to be, you know, the perfect parent because I really am human. And I just don't, you know what? I don't want to screw this up. I really don't.
Right. You only have one shot.
Such great people that I just want them to flourish, but I want to direct them. I do want to make sure, like you said, that they're good people. Right now, they are really good people, even at seven years old.
Yeah, yeah.
How can I do the least amount of damage is what I'm saying here.
Well, I believe in the physician's motto, do no harm.
Yes.
Because kids, with just some guidance, are going to turn out just fine. And just with some good, solid messages early on. You don't have to be a perfect parent. And my gosh, if you try to be a perfect parent, you're probably going to ruin your children because you're going to pass on that message that you have to be perfect. And as human beings, we aren't perfect. That is a standard that will never be achieved. So the best thing to do is actually a book called Good Enough Parenting. And I think that good enough parenting is, well, good enough. Because but good enough parenting is about sending the right messages, good messages, but not getting overly involved. What causes parents to screw up their kids is two ends of the continuum, either utter neglect, which in the demographic that I live in north of San Francisco,
yeah.
And I understand you live in Marin as well.
I do.
We won't even get into the stereotypes of Marin. But
they're all true.
They're all true, yes, of course. But the other end is the over-involved parent, the one who's trying too hard. And that's where their self-esteem becomes invested in who their children become. And Tiger Mom is a classic example.
Right.
Despite the fact that she's an incredibly accomplished woman, there's no doubt from a distance that this woman is overly invested in her kids' achievements. And in a way, you don't want to care too much.
But at the same time, you say that children become the messages they get the most. With all the things that they're bombarded with, doesn't that mean that I have to be there constantly to be giving them the positive messages to counteract all the negative crap that they're getting?
Early on, when you have more control over their lives, then you don't need to be there 100%. But certainly as they get older and you see messages that they're receiving messages from other unhealthy sources,
right.
Then you need to be there. But you can't be overly intrusive because you know what kids do when you're in their head, in their face all the time?
They reject you.
They reject you. They check out.
Yeah.
So you need to be there just enough. And kids have a great capacity to send a message of stop. And I can tell you that I practice what I preach in my work with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And my kids have become very good at letting me know enough's enough. Like Katie, my almost 6-year-old, will put up her hand and say, stop.
Yeah, that's a pretty subtle message, I say.
And Gracie, my younger one, used to go away.
All right, Jim, hang on with me. I'm going to take another break here. We're going to check in with the news and find out what's going on in our world and in our neighborhoods, and then we'll come back and get down to the nitty-gritty. I want to talk a little bit about what those 9 messages actually are that the book refers to. The book, again, is Your Children Are Listening, 9 Messages They Need to Hear from You, and Jim Taylor, Ph.D., is my guest. Right now it's time for us, though, to check in with George Acevedo. He's in the KGO Radio newsroom, and this brings us this update. Good morning, George.
And good morning, Pat. This is a KGO Radio news update. The Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association is demanding that California lawmakers don't get paid, saying they didn't give the governor a balanced budget. The plan submitted by the Democratic majority was presented on time, but promptly vetoed by Governor Brown. The president of the taxpayer group says it interprets the newly passed Proposition 25 to require the budget be balanced in order for lawmakers to continue to be paid after the June 15th constitutional deadline. State Controller John Chung says he will review the matter and he'll have a decision by early next week. A volcano that erupted in Chile on June 4th, spewing ash 20 miles into the air, appears to be quieting down. The eruption had caused cancellation of hundreds of airline flights this month from Argentina to Australia. The fine particles of ash thrown into the air apparently are damaging jet engines. A Chilean emergency official said yesterday the activity has eased, but, quote, it continues to be a moderate eruption. More debate over lowering deficits and raising the federal debt limit is on the horizon. White House spokesman Jay Carney expects negotiations among lawmakers to intensify next week. Vice President Joe Biden is leading the bipartisan talks. This week, Biden said the most difficult issues have not yet been tackled. Republicans insist on linking a debt ceiling boost to a firm agreement on deep spending cuts. It seems the idea that if you spend too much time in front of a computer makes you a social misfit is not true. A new study by the Pew Research Center shows that if you want to improve your relationships, become more trusting, get more emotional support, and become more involved in politics, you should be on Facebook. The study follows another done in 2009 that also showed if you're more involved on the Internet, you're more likely to have a larger and more diverse group of friends. The study mentions a digital divide and says the 20% of Americans who are not using social media have less social ties and are less likely to vote. Facebook was by far the biggest social site used. In sports, the A's beat the Giants 5-2. In golf, it was Rory McIlroy leading after two rounds in the U.S. Open. Checking KGO traffic, there is an accident in Santa Clara, San Tomas Expressway at Forbes Avenue. Apparently, they've got a tree down in traffic lanes. They're sending out some crews to take care of that. Some Caltrans work going on in Millbrae, 101 between Old Bayshore Highway and Oyster Point. That's the right lane there until 9. They're also working in Livermore on 580 eastbound between Airway Boulevard and North Livermore Avenue. Caltrate helps strengthen bones with 1,200 milligrams of calcium and 800 IU of vitamin D3. Women need Caltrate. Caltrate helps women keep moving because women move the world. KGO weather, partly cloudy overnight, some fog rolling in along the coast and lows expected in the 50s. Then we'll have a partly cloudy day, a little cooler with highs in the 60s and 70s, but things start to warm up again tomorrow and Monday. Currently 51 degrees in Oakland, 54 in San Jose, and right now it's 52 degrees in San Francisco. I'm George Acevedo, KGO Radio News.
Welcome to Madame Zilpha Palm Reader.
Hey, wow, cool place.
Please sit. Yeah. Give Zilpha palm.
Right or left?
Doesn't matter.
I'm ambidextrous. What?
I see. Flooring.
Like from S&G Carpet?
Yes.
Because I've been waiting for just the right time to go into S&G and get new carpeting, laminate, hardwood, vinyl, maybe
see.
A little tile.
Instant.
I love instant oatmeal.
Rebate.
No. I hate paperwork.
Listen.
Yes, ma'am.
I see instant rebate right now at S&G Carpet.
You mean no waiting to save?
Yes. You go into S&G Carpet right now. Get instant rebate. Save ton of money instantly on all kind of flooring.
Wow.
Get up. We both go.
Excellent. Now, carefully, you don't trip on your rope getting up.
Oh, crystal.
No, not to worry. I have aspirin in my wallet. Promises instant relief.
There's no waiting to save with an instant rebate from S&G. Now through June 30th, save instantly on carpet, hardwood, laminate, vinyl, and tile. And as always, S&G will beat any written estimate by 10%.
S&G, more than carpet.
In Albany, Pleasanton, and Santa Clara, or on the web at sgcarpet.com.
This is the sound of Jim's Chase Mortgage. This is the sound of Sean's Chase Mortgage. And this is the sound of Nancy's Chase Mortgage. That's because Chase checking customers can earn cash back on their mortgage. That's money to spend on whatever you want. A new lawnmower, a new grill for the backyard, even some new golf clubs.
Four! Oops.
Or maybe just lessons. Simply get a new Chase mortgage or refinance your loan and sign up for automatic payments to start getting cash back. Up to $500 annually for the life of the program, which could add up to thousands over time. Stop into a branch today or go to chase.com/mortgagecashback to learn more about our great rates and to find out how your mortgage can start paying you back. Mortgage cash back only from Chase. Chase, what matters.
All home lending products are subject to credit and property approval. A Chase personal checking account required with automatic mortgage payments. This program is not available in all states. Other restrictions and limitations may apply. JP Morgan Chase Bank NA, member FDIC.
Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams. The one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry. So just look at them and sigh, and know they love you.
Good morning, I'm Pat Thurston. We are talking with Jim Taylor, Dr. Taylor. He is the author of Your Children Are Listening, 9 Messages They Need to Hear from You. Well, Jim, let's get down to it. What are those 9 messages?
Okay. Actually, before we begin, can I just offer one thing that'll sort of help set this up a little bit?
Yes, sure.
What I call the four keys to message success.
Okay.
And the first one is repetition. We touched on this a little, but the idea that you have to send messages over and over and over again. Even when it seems like they're not listening, they're listening. It is sinking in, and it will take a while. I've worked with, in my practice, I've seen this with my kids alone. It can take months and months and months, and all of a sudden, bam, they start doing it, and you think, why didn't they do that in the first place?
I'd have been happy.
Exactly. And related to that is just being patient, knowing it will take a lot of time, because if you're patient, then you're not going to get frustrated when they don't get it right away.
Right.
And I think a big part of being a good parent is just being persistent and persevering, sticking with it, keep doing it, even when there are setbacks, even when they're not getting it, you just keep plugging away. You have to have faith that they will get that message, and they will get that message. But it takes time.
And was that four?
That was four, yes.
Wait, repetition, patience, persistence?
And perseverance.
And perseverance.
Yes.
Okay, what's the difference between persistence and perseverance?
I'm often asked that question. I'm a word person, so I make these distinctions. Persistence is when you just keep at it and you keep doing it, you keep doing it. Perseverance is keep doing it when you come against obstacles and setbacks and failures.
Ah, okay. All right, I understand. Okay, so the nine messages are?
Okay, love, competence, security, gratitude, compassion, earth, respect, responsibility, and emotion.
Okay. Each of those things, and you go into quite some detail in the book about each of those individual things, but these are the messages we're sending to our children. So when you say the first message is love,
yes.
Is that to say that your children need to know that they're loved?
Yes, they need to know they're loved. Love is the foundation for me of everything that comes out of children. It creates the comfort level, the sense of security, the feeling of acceptance and value and self-esteem that it becomes the foundation for everything kids do. Unfortunately, parents don't always express their love in the best ways, in what I consider to be healthy ways. Either they have conditional love over the kids' grades, or they buy their kids love.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't feel they can express it effectively. I also don't believe, this is a very controversial point that we could probably go on and on about, is that I also don't believe in unconditional love.
Yeah, I know. I was going to bring that up because that is very controversial. But the way you explain it, it doesn't sound as bad as it does initially.
I appreciate that. And my notion is this, is that everything in life has some conditions to it. And the reality is that when I talk about love, of course, we love our kids no matter what, whether
right.
they're mass murderers or they spill milk or what have you. But the fact is, that's not always the messages we send them. When we show disapproval, we know it's disapproval. But
right.
when you have a little kid saying, my mom is yelling at me because I did this bad thing,
right.
then what they feel is, my mom doesn't love me anymore.
Right. That's their own perception of it.
Right. Right. And the fact is, love can be a powerful tool, not a weapon, which it often is used by parents, but as a tool to help instill messages in your kids.
Yeah, but you would never say that a parent should actually say, when you do that, I don't love you.
Oh, my gosh, no.
Yeah, good. Okay.
And, of course, there's a classic one. Don't say you are messy, but you just made a mess. So you focus on the behavior rather than it's something about them, of course.
Right, right, right. And, I see parents doing that all the time where they say that they are something, like they're putting this on them, like that's what the makeup of the child is. Or I have even seen parents, and I kid you not, calling their children names.
Yes.
And
yes.
it sounds like they're on the playground with the kids, except these are parents. And I think that makes the message that much worse.
It does completely. And when parents lower themselves to their kids' level, like when a parent throws a tantrum,
yes.
Kids, one, they know they've got their parents.
Ah.
Because their adversary now is not a big, strong grown-up,
right.
but another child.
Someone on their level.
Right, and kids have more experience at being a kid than parents do.
That's pretty good. Okay, so and I would encourage people to read the section where you talk about conditional and unconditional love, because in the way you present it, it makes a lot of sense. And I'll tell you, when I first read that, I thought, ooh. But then I went right along with you, so I understood it. If there were one of these nine messages, is there one that you would choose to be the most important?
Oh, gosh. You know, they're all so important. But I would guess these days, my message number two of competence is a really big one these days, especially with all the concerns about kids doing well in school and test scores and getting in college and earning a living and not moving back home, being a boomerang kid. And because these days, unfortunately, parents have gotten some bad messages. We're vulnerable too, about how to instill competence in their children. And so, for example, one thing that I totally go off on, sets me off, is how parents praise their kids.
Right.
And trying to, and with the idea that you can convince your children that they're competent at something.
Yes.
And the problem with that, you're so wonderful, you're the smartest, you're the most talented one out there.
Right.
And the problem is, reality has a way of slapping kids in the face.
Right.
When their perceptions of themselves are inconsistent with the reality of themselves. And this is my personal pet peeve, and you see this in playgrounds, you see it in youth sports, you see it in the classroom, you see it at home. The number one form of praise parents give their kids is this: good job. Good job, or way to go. That, for me, is worthless, lazy praise. The point of praise is to reinforce a behavior that you want your kid to repeat. So if they're responsible, they did something responsibly, hey, good job helping your sister or bringing your plate to the sink. That message of good job is very non-specific. The best thing to do is say, boy, you brought your – just repeat what they did. You brought your plate to the sink. Or say, you really worked hard on that project for school.
Right.
Because what do you want to reinforce? That they worked really hard.
The effort, yeah.
The effort, exactly.
Right, because, you know, very few people, children, adults, anybody, very few people are great when they first try something. And one of the things that I've noticed with my kids is at a certain point, because there's three of them, so they feel like they should all be at the same level with the others. But what I've found is that with some of them, they don't pick things up as quickly, but they're
sure.
Tenacious.
Yeah.
And when they work at it, eventually they really do conquer it, and they're extremely good at it. But it's the effort, and I don't ever want them to lose sight of trying, you know, because
right.
It's never going to come to you immediately through life. You're going to have to work at things. And so I try really, really hard to focus on continuing to work at it, the tenaciousness of it.
Well, certainly the greatest predictor of success is the number of hours you put in. There's actually tons of research on that, and a couple of books have been written on the topic. And just as an example of the kind of things, messages to communicate, and my kids have got, my early message was, all you can do is try. Whether they're scared, or they don't think they can do it, or they don't think this is good, tastes very good,
right.
A meal that my wife has prepared,
yeah.
All you can do is try.
And does that work with eating? Because I do have that issue.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And what I want my kids, the message I want my kids to send to me after they do something is, I did it.
Yeah.
Because so often the best thing to do is just shut up. Don't say anything, because the world is very good at reinforcing success.
Right.
Like your kid climbs to the top of the monkey bars.
Yeah.
You don't need to say good job, because they know it's a good job.
Right, right.
Because they're at the top of the monkey bar.
Yeah, but don't they want us to give them that approval, to give them that reinforcement of what they just accomplished?
Yes, but you can say it by just, you climb to the top of the monkey bar. You know what I do? Big thumbs up.
Yeah.
I don't even say anything. I just put a big thumbs up, and that's become a big thing with my kids, too, when they do it. They don't say anything to me. They just give me the big thumbs up.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yes,
I have to take another break, but hang on with me, and we'll continue on this. But also, I want to get to, since this is Father's Day weekend, that I know that you've also put together 8 tips for dads on parenting, and I think this is a really good thing for us to do as we go into Father's Day. 808-0810 is our telephone number. My guest is Dr. Jim Taylor, and his book is Your Children Are Listening, 9 Messages They Need to Hear from You. I'm Pat Thurston, and this is KGO.
You haven't paid a parking ticket since 1998, and you've been driving with a suspended license for 13 years. Now the court would like to have a little chat with you. Time for some tough love from KGO's lawyer, Len Tillum.
Hey, life is tough. Call me from jail in 6 weeks. You better show up. Dummy up. What a dope you are. Go to court, pay the ticket, and shut the hell up.
Len Tillum, because sometimes everybody needs a lawyer.
End of story.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on KGO News Talk 810.
European Sleepworks has very little competition. Yes, there are lots of brand-name mattresses out there, but almost none of them are chemical-free, while the European Sleepworks mattress has no harmful chemicals like fire retardants or polyurethane. Our components are eco-certified and safe. Even our raw materials are environmentally friendly. Natural latex from a sustainable source and organic cotton and wool. European Sleepworks claims one other distinction that leaves the name brands out of the running. We use up to twice as many coils as their premium mattresses for the ultimate in comfort, support, and stability. If the brand names lack these things, where is our competition? Try Germany, where they value quality design and green technology. But why travel there, when you can find mattresses built for health, performance, and value at European Sleepworks, Adeline at Ashby in Berkeley.
If you're flying out of SFO today, don't forget your ID, don't forget your boarding pass, and I suppose you need to forget to leave the saggy pants at home.
Can we talk?
On KGO AM, San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland. News Talk 810.
Thurston. Dr. Jim Taylor is my guest. The book is Your Children Are Listening, 9 Messages They Need to Hear from You. Jim, let's bring on one of our listeners here. This is Bob. He's calling from Munich. We're talking Munich, Germany?
Hi, y'all.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Guten Morgen.
English bitter.
Okay, Bob, you're on with Jim. Go ahead.
Yeah, I am calling not for myself, but because of a special relationship situation. I have a friend who is going through a very nasty divorce.
And are you concerned about the child in the divorce or the children?
Yes, I am. The issue is that he has been, I've known this person very, very, very well.
Yeah.
He has been accused of inappropriate behavior with his minor children who are under five and under.
Oh, my.
Okay. And consequently, he is being restricted by the courts to seeing his children twice a month under supervised visitation and twice a week by telephone.
Yeah, that's a really, really tough situation. And, you know, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't really give any feedback there. But within those restrictions that he's placed under for now, all he can do is when he's with his kids, just love them and be with them and maintain that connection, and hopefully the situation will work itself out legally where he can get back to being as full-time a dad as he can
okay.
be.
Well, my question is communications over the telephone. He yes. has good rapport with them when he's in person.
Mm-hmm.
But over the telephone, they have been fed by the mother just terrible things to say, and they get over that as soon as they're in person. But things like, you know, it's obviously been programmed into them, and he can't control these conversations, and he's actually said that he's very, very tempted to just end the conversations because it's just so frustrating. He doesn't know how to reply to get communications going.
But can you offer any help there, Jim?
Yeah. First of all, one thing that I find helpful in communicating with kids is using Skype if you have to be in that situation. I'm not sure if that's part of the deal, but video, adding a visual component makes it a lot more real. At the same time, all he can do is be open with them and be loving and consistent and not use them as a weapon against his ex-wife.
Which is what she's doing with them.
Exactly.
And it's so damn destructive. I can't believe people do that to their very own children.
Yeah.
Good luck to you, Bob, and good luck to your friend. Let's talk to Joel, who is calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. We're being very international this morning. Hi, Joel. Welcome to KGO. You're on with Jim. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I was curious whether you had there's actually three books. There's Becoming the Kind Father by Calvin Sanborn, Hold On to Your Kids by Gabor Maté and Gordon Neufeld, and lastly, a book by Alfie Kahn called Punished by Rewards, which is a kind of an examination how giving rewards, like in school, actually can extinguish a person's spontaneous love of an activity, and they wind up not really liking the activity for its own sake anymore.
Right.
And only are motivated by rewards.
Jim?
Yeah, the first two books I'm not familiar with, so I can't comment. I am very familiar with Alfie's work, and much of it I agree with, and certainly what you just mentioned about how rewarding kids extrinsically hurts their intrinsic motivation, and there's a large body of research on that. So I thoroughly agree with him on that. We do have our differences on the issue of unconditional love. He's a huge advocate of unconditional love. And again, my take on unconditional love is my guess is if we had a chance to talk it through, we'd agree. But on the surface, anyway, we do diverge a little bit in that capacity. He's a huge proponent of just unconditional love.
Let's get to some of these tips for dads, because we're just about out of time here. And I think this is really important. It's really helpful for fathers. What are your 8 tips for fathers? Day before Father's Day.
Sure, and people can read. This is a blog post I wrote on my website, so you can go to that to read them in more detail. But
and that's drjimtaylor.com.
Right, drjimtaylor.com, exactly. Okay. Number one is to take a hit for the team. We live in a culture of selfishness, but as a father, you must be willing to be selfish and make your family your number one priority. That's one. Number two is worship your wife. And I don't mean this in any kind of sexist way. I mean in the purest sense. My wife, Sarah, works so hard for our girls. And it's hard. It's difficult when you're tired, when you have your stressors, to forget that. And I happen to think that being a mother is a thankless job. It is a hard job. You know, it's the hardest job that there is, they say. And to constantly thank her, be appreciative, give her opportunities to have her own time. I do my best to worship her as much as I can, and I still don't do it as much as I should. Number three is communicate. Unfortunately, men are in our culture not taught to communicate, and that the best thing that it's such a wonderful tool. It's a great message to send to kids, especially boys, because communication is the way all good things happen.
And by communicating, you just don't mean talking; you mean actually listening.
Talking, listening, conveying messages through body language, through hugging and kissing, all the different ways that you can communicate and receive communications make that possible, because that builds relationships and it resolves conflict.
Okay, and number four?
Number four is be emotional. Again, we also live in a culture where expressing emotions is just not acceptable for men because it's a sign of weakness. And yet, healthy emotional expression is first of all, it's I find it the most manly thing, because it takes courage and it's risky to express emotions. And expressing healthy emotions is the foundation of everything that we have in our lives, whether it's how we feel about ourselves, our relationships, the quality of our work, and so on. Number five is be tough. I hope I give the impression that I'm not a touchy-feely, easygoing dad. I am very tough on my kids. But tough doesn't mean being angry, mean, and controlling. It means knowing what's best for your kids and doing what's best for them, whether they like it or not. Because we live in a tough world out there, and they need to know that life isn't easy. But that toughness also includes being loving and supportive, just having high expectations, clear consequences, and following through.
Okay.
Number six is send good messages. This ties in right along with my book, is that your kids are being bombarded by unhealthy messages every day. And it's really important that as fathers, we have a very different relationship very often than mothers do. And very often dads want to just be the fun guy who can have a good time with his kids. But it's really important to be cognizant of the messages that you're sending and making sure you're sending really good ones. Number seven is teach healthy values. My second book is about popular culture and values. And when I talk about values, unfortunately, values have gotten a bad rap. When you think about values, you think about the hot-button values you hear about in politics and on talk radio. But the values I'm talking about are the ones that we can all agree on, whether it's respect, responsibility, compassion, tolerance, justice, fairness, all these things.
Mm-hmm.
If you can instill healthy values in your kids, they're going to be fine. Because values are the signposts that lead kids down through their lives. Lastly, take care of yourself physically. You know, a lot of dads work incredibly hard these days. They don't have much time. They eat poorly. They're overweight. And the best gift you can give your kids is your life. You know, being dead at 50 is not a really good thing for being a father, or 60 or 70. Take care of yourself. Eat well. Get exercise. Because the best thing you can give your kids is your presence in their life as long as possible.
Yeah. Hey, it has been such a pleasure talking with you, Jim, and I really appreciate you staying up this late, and your kids will appreciate it if you get a good night's sleep. The book is Your Children Are Listening, 9 Messages They Need to Hear from You. It's available all the major bookstores, right?
Yes,
Amazon?
And Amazon, yes.
Good. And the website. Go to the website. Some great information there, too. It's drjimtaylor.com. That's D-R Jim Taylor, no period after the D-R. And, Jim, once again, it's been a delight. Thank you so much, and happy Father's Day to you.
Great pleasure, Pat, and I appreciate having the opportunity.
You betcha. All right, that's Dr. Jim Taylor. And-